All right. Would you like me to begin now?
Yes, please. Thank
All
you.
right. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Ali, a compulsive overeater, and I want to thank Joni for inviting me to speak, and she's done a marvelous job in making sure I had all the information I needed. And I do have a cold. Actually, it's not a cold. It's allergy, severe allergy to all the beautiful spring blossoms. And so I may sneeze or need to take a little short few second break. But it'll work out well. So I am a compulsive overeater. I am a 100-pounder. I had a high weight of 285. I'm probably 147 now, so it's about 135, 140-pound weight loss, something like that. And I've been in program for 39 years, so in August it'll be 40 years. And I also want to give homage and gratitude to my two sponsors. First sponsor, Alex, who took me through the first year of the program. He's the one that taught me how to become abstinent, to do a fourth step, to pray, to meditate, and to read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of course, when I came in 1984, in August at 4:30 p.m. on the 26th, OA did not have its own literature, so we were gifted by the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then my second sponsor, who took me through the next 37 years of my program, his name was Bob, and he died at the age of 98 and 2 years ago. But he taught me deep spiritual ideas and attitudes and and also the art of meditation as a way of expanding a consciousness of a higher power and to deepen the practice in the second and third steps. So a life was saved, this life, from the brutality and the suffocation of an eating disorder that's brutal. And for me, it was brutal. And whatever I share is just important to keep in mind is my story. I don't feel it's useful for me to suggest in any way, whether it's through language or attitude or implicitly, that there is a right way of finding an abstinence and working the program. What I will share is how and why certain principles worked for me and how it saved me. As a sidebar, I just returned from a 3-week trip to Europe, which included a river cruise and visiting four countries as well. And of course, there's a lot of food there and a lot of alcohol there. And I do recall on the second day, as the sun was setting and enjoying the river cruise, I was moved to send an email to my first sponsor, Alex, who got me abstinent. and to thank him for saving a life. And it's no small matter to have been given through the alchemy of this program an opportunity to save a life. And those of us who are in this program not only have this opportunity to save our own lives, but the lives of others, countless of others. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this life. I wouldn't have made it to the age of 72. I came into the program when I was 32, I believe it was. I wouldn't have made it to 72. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I had no life left other than eating. And I don't want to go into a food log, but those of you who are 100-pounders know the devastation that is heaped on us by this unforgiving disease. But I do mention suicide because there is a step before the first step. And the step before the first step is we were entirely ready, entirely ready. That is the truth for me. I was all out of questions. I was all out of answers. I had tried everything. I really, truly tried to lose weight, to keep it off. And nothing worked. And it was what the big book calls pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I was looking for answers by people who had solutions that had escaped me. And Alex, my sponsor, said, you know, Ali, you need to have the alcoholic version of Plug the Jug in OA. I didn't question it. I was so thirsty for information outside of the darkness of my own mind and brain and skull. So he said, the way to do that, Plug the Jug, is to have three meals a day, nothing in between, no flour, no sugar, never miss a meal, and minimum 3 hours between meals. And that's how it all started for me. Now, I'm not diabetic. I wasn't a diabetic. And I didn't have health reasons not to follow that guideline. Three meals a day, nothing in between, no flour, no sugar, minimum 3 hours between meals, and never miss a meal. Now, that has sustained me as my abstinence for 39 and a half years. I say that because that discipline was essential for this three-week experience, and I've had many such experiences traveling, where I just returned last week, where the foods and the alcohol and the snacks and the cakes, and just you can just imagine the cornucopia. And one of the things that happens if we're not careful is the disease doesn't sleep, but it begins to have soft voices, kind, gentle voices. It begins to see other people enjoying foods, desserts, drinks. And it begins to want that outside. And it finds ways to soften the edges of an abstinence. Maybe you can do this. Maybe it's okay. You know, It's after all, it's a vacation, whatever the soft voice is. And I'm really scared of those soft voices because they're so innocent and so inviting and so real. And the discipline of 39 and a half years kicked in. 3 meals a day, nothing in between, no flour, no sugar, et cetera, et cetera. And that was my abstinence. And I was able to enjoy my experience because I can promise you there is just not, and there's not enough sugar and food to satisfy my craving. So the lesson I want to suggest that has benefited me as a 100-pounder is to have a discipline of food, a commitment to some form of abstinence. Of course, we work that out with our sponsors, with our higher power, with physicians if that's necessary. But to leave it to the proclivity of the mind in real time to decide is playing with fire. So that's one. The other is the importance for me of connecting deeply with the mother book, the book in Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. The OA book is beautiful. It's important. I've read it and highly recommend it. But there is an ontology. There is a worldview upon which all the other programs, including OA, has borrowed from. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous provides that foundation, that worldview. Now, an example is, for example, in the doctor's opinion. When I started reading the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the suggestion was always to switch alcohol for food, alcoholic for compulsive overeater, and then I was able to relate to the story, to the message. And in the doctor's opinion, it says we have a threefold disease, right? It says that we have a disease, we have a allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And that resonated with me as a 100-pounder who had just a week, 2 weeks, a month, 6 months in program, that I did have an allergy of the body, that certain foods reacted in my body in ways that produced an obsession where I couldn't stop eating. In AA, there is a phrase that's used called the double cross. And the double cross is a phenomenon not dissimilar to Bill W.'s story in being at the bar and sitting down and thinking to himself, you know, if I add milk to my bourbon or whiskey, I won't get drunk because the milk will coat my stomach, right? The double cross works something like this in OA is it's okay to have this, whatever this is. But the person who eats the this and thought they could get away with it is not the same person after they eat it. There is a physical allergic shift that changes the mind chemicals. We become emotionally, psychologically, physically, we become a different human being. And the bargain we made, I'll just eat one bite or one this or one that, no longer holds. So I understood this idea of allergy of the body and obsession of the mind in a real way. The other thing that it says in the doc.
5 minute reminder.
Is that 5 minutes left? Is that 5 minutes left? I'll assume it's 5 minutes left.
Five minutes left.
Thank you very much. So, and the other thing it speaks to is that talks about change in consciousness. Right? There's a shift in consciousness. It talks about a revolution in thinking, a revolution in re-examining and introducing into our daily practice a whole new attitude, a whole new philosophy of life, a spiritual way of living. And then it talks about a moral psychology, that this is a program built on a moral psychology. And a way to think about moral psychology is a mind or a psychology built on kindness, goodness, service, compassion, beliefs and attitudes that are intended to make us more useful and usable at home, at work, in our communities, which is why in the fourth step it says a moral inventory, an inventory in which we discover where we fell short because of patterns of behaviors and thinking and belief systems, where we may have fallen short of this moral psychology. It's a way to reorient back towards goodness, which we already are. And we lost along the way because of our obsession with food and our self-centered, egoic ideas about what it is to live, to be so consumed by fear that moral psychology couldn't surface because fear kept us extraordinarily self-oriented, self-centered. I point to that because the reason we work the steps, the reason we keep coming back to meetings, once we find our abstinence, may you find that abstinence now, is that abstinence without finding more ways to be kind and forgiving and honest and trusting and courageous. And by courageous, I mean acts of the heart. Courage, from the French word cœur, heart, to be more courageous, more heartful. Bill W. talks about this idea of language of the heart, which is what this program is points us towards the language of the heart, and that happens through the 11th step, through prayer and meditation. And I'll close with Bill W.'s paper on what he called emotional sobriety or spiritual sobriety, which is what we get through the alchemy of meditation. To meditate, and what he said was the first 10 steps keeps us sober, abstinent. The 11th step, the meditation, we don't have to do it perfect or right, even. There's no such thing as a right or wrong when it comes to meditation. It's doing it, showing up, sitting. And the big book in the 12 and 12 suggests many ways to meditate, not just one, many ways. And his view was that the 11th step is what grows us emotionally, spiritually. And we have the psychic shift.
Time's up.
Thank you. And we have the psychic shift that occurs through the portal of the 11th step. Thank you for allowing me to share and for inviting me. I'm grateful for your kind ears and gentle hearts.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you so much for sharing your message of strength.